This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه هداه ما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Can everyone hear me? Okay, so this is the second session about the methodology of seeking knowledge. And before we continue, I'd like to remind myself and remind you of the main points of the first session. So can you remember what we mentioned about the conditions of seeking knowledge? Any thoughts from the previous session?
For the right reasons,
that's one of them, which is, what do we say in another word? To be for the right reason.
Don't ask questions that you already know.
Yeah, that's what we took in akhlaq. But it's related to knowledge as well.
Yes.
Someone mentioned the intention. Okay?
Intention only rewarded by intention.
To be sincere. Why you are seeking the knowledge? One of the first to be thrown in hellfire, one of the first people to be punished in hellfire, the one who learned the knowledge, a scholar, but because it wasn't for the right reasons. Okay? And we mentioned what Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, talked about of the conditions for the seeker of knowledge. 6 conditions. Today, inshallah, we are continuing with that until this idea is settled, and then inshallah next week we will have the proper way, the practical way with certain books. How do you start? We want first to establish that seeking knowledge is very precious, is valuable. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Are they equal, the ones who know and the ones who know? Of course they are not. Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah will elevate, Allah will raise those who believe and those of knowledge, the people of knowledge. They are not equal with the rest. And I could give you this simple example. To find a precious stone, something expensive, would you look at it at the surface, or you have to dig deep to discover it and find it? That's the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want the pearls, you have to dive. Same thing, you want the diamond, you have to dig. You want the knowledge, you have to strive. You have to strive. That's the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many examples. I gave you last time the example of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, when he traveled for one hadith only. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he went from Iraq to Mecca to meet with Abdul Razzaq ibn Hammam al-San'ani, one of the scholars. He wanted to take the hadith from him. He already narrated the ahadith from Abdul Razzaq, but through a connection. He wanted to narrate the hadith directly from him. Why would I choose to hear from you through a connection when I can meet with you in person? But at their time, that was not simple or easy. They didn't have cars, they didn't have planes. So he went to Mecca. When he arrived Mecca, he was told that Abdul Razzaq is dead. He's originally from Yemen. Abdul Razzaq, Imam Abdul Razzaq, he's from Yemen. He has a big book, Al-Musannaf. In hadith, he collected a lot of ahadith. So Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah went back to Iraq. When he arrived, he was told that Abdul Razzaq is not really dead, he is still alive. He went back again. When he arrived Mecca, the certain news came that he is indeed dead. 2 times, going to Mecca, just to narrate the hadith. So how much are we willing to sacrifice? How much are we willing to spend to seek the knowledge? Because if you are not willing, then knowledge will not give you anything. As some scholars said, you have to give all your time to knowledge, so it would give you something. It would give you something. Unlike what we see nowadays, the leftover is for knowledge. That will not take you anywhere. You will only get little bit. What is the solution? Some of you would say, I have work. I don't have really time. 8 hours, 10 hours every day. I don't have that time, but I want to seek the knowledge. Try to choose the best time for knowledge. There are certain types sciences that they require focus. They require thinking. You choose the best of times for this. You might be working from 9 to 5. After that you're tired. So this doesn't work. What time can you give? You have Saturday and Sunday. This is a practical solution. Saturday and Sunday, you keep that for those types of knowledge that will require focusing, will require thinking. What about the time when you are tired, when you really cannot focus? Keep that for the other types that don't require a lot of thinking. Like what? Like the siras, the biographies of the scholars. This is important. You need to read their biography, their history, their stories. That will encourage you to follow their path and seek the knowledge. And scholars, they wrote many books. Inshallah, next week we will start giving you some of these books because they are available but in Arabic. How good is that for you? You want them to be in English or even in Malay. We will see, inshallah, what is available. So, try to keep that time for this type of knowledge. That doesn't require a lot of thinking. It's interesting because it's stories. So you read that even when you're tired, you will still be able to get something. The main point is to be able to gain and move forward instead of going around. We have what we call Sunday school for the Muslim kids in America. They go to public school. They don't have Islamic education. So what we have for them is Sunday school, where on Sunday they come to the masjid and they learn. But you look at them, subhanAllah, every Sunday for every year, they are almost getting the same thing. No moving forward. Nothing advanced. So they didn't really get much. No specific curriculum that is taking them from level A to level B to level C and so on and so forth. They don't have that. It's just repetition. This is the case with many people, maybe some of you also. You might say, I have been coming several times for several classes, but I don't see myself getting solid knowledge. The reason for that is because you didn't follow the proper methodology. Again, what is the proper methodology? You start with something small, something essential but small. Remember yesterday when we were talking about the main points of prayer. This is something we do every single day. But some of you started asking, what if? What if? Keep that for now. Don't ask about it. Focus on the main principles. Many people, they try to take everything and they get nothing. That's what scholars say. You want to take some of the knowledge, you have to take it in time, properly, gradual. This is very important. Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, وَلَكِنْ كُونُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تُعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابَ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ كُونُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ. What's the meaning of رَبَّانِيِّين? Rabbani, as Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah interpreted it, he said, the scholar who teaches the small things, the minor things, the small issues before going to the larger issues. That is Rabbani. Always start with something small, something essential. Yes, don't stay there, but that's the proper beginning. An example for that would be, I don't know, it is available in English, but I don't know if you came across it. The book of Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, Al-Majmu'. Al-Majmu' is a very large book. To give it to a beginner, he will not understand it. And he will not be able to finish it, even if he read the entire book. The proper way is to start with the summary. a textbook on the fiqh of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, 20 pages, 15 pages, and that's it. Then after that, you move to something else. Again, when you want to build a building, this is similar. You want to build a building, you don't start from the roof. You start from the foundation. This is what many people don't get, unfortunately. They are in a hurry, they want to get everything, and they go nowhere. That's why they say in Arabic, "Man faqad al-usul," he who lost the principles, "Man faqad al-usul, hurim al-wusul." He is deprived from reaching, from getting the end. Why? From the beginning, he wasn't on the right direction. So the right direction, first thing remember, you have, after the conditions that we mentioned, sincerity, having a teacher, a guide, which is very important, spending some time, the first thing, you need to take the proper method. One essential point in taking the proper method is to start with small things first, with essentials. Then moving on to other issues. So when you have a text, simple, just like the fiqh, the basic fiqh that we have, don't keep asking questions that may or may not happen. Alaykum as-salam. Try to memorize, try to master what you have, and then move on to the next level. So, following the right way, having the proper method, that's one of them. Second thing, being patient. Patience is a virtue. That's in everything. In knowledge, in particular, you need patience. Why? Knowledge is not the same. Teachers also are not the same. You have some teachers that you cannot understand from them. Not because they are not knowledgeable. They just don't have the skill of giving the information easily. And sometimes they do that on purpose. Sometimes. One of the scholars, he wrote a book in random order, totally. He wrote the ahadith not according to any order. So when they asked him, he said, because I want the searcher, instead of just typing in and going straight, I want him to struggle. Because through that struggle, he will learn a lot. You didn't want this hadith, you didn't want that, but you came across it, so you benefited from it. Some people do that. For you, you came for something. You have been listening, half an hour. You didn't get it. Usually, people say, okay, I'm leaving. You have to wait. You have to be patient. Try again and again until you get it. Even great scholars, they were sometimes unable to find the solution until they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They wait for days until they find the solution. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, when some people ask him a question, sometimes he doesn't have the answer. He waits until the wahi comes. So did he have all the answers? No. So don't expect to get everything quickly. Okay? Allah says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who struggle in our way, we will guide them. We will guide them. So you have to be patient. Don't complain. Complaining is very easy. Withdrawing is very easy. No. You have to struggle. Okay? It doesn't count how many people start. What counts is how many people finish. All competitors, they start from the same beginning. But who reaches the end? Who arrives? Only the ones who struggled. Matters are judged by their end, not by the beginning. Remember that always. There is a famous story of one of the scholars. He was like that. He was complaining at the beginning of seeking knowledge. He couldn't find answers to what he was looking for. So he started seeking knowledge, learning, couldn't understand. So he decided to leave. This is not for me. Seeking knowledge is not for me. And by the way, some people, truly, some people, because knowledge is not for everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah, فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَ. Group of people. We need group of people from every community to seek the knowledge. فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَ لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمًا. Okay, So you need a group of people, not everybody, because it's not suitable for everyone. And if everybody tried to seek knowledge, who will do other things as well? But you chose this way, this path. You notice there are some difficulties. You should know that you are on the right way. Not what many people would do, this is difficult, so let's leave it. No. When you find it difficult, actually, this is the beginning of reaching. You are on the right way. So this scholar, he said, this is not for me. He left. When he was leaving, he saw drops of water. When it rains, there are drops coming on a small rock. And these drops, they made a hole. So he was shocked. He said, this water, as gentle as it is, it affected the stone after time. Again, that's the key here. Not one drop. One drop will not do anything. Not two drops, 1 day, 2 days. No, that won't do. This happened over time. So he said, this is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge is not as hard as rock. And my mind is not as light as the water, so definitely I will benefit. So he went back and he became a well-known scholar. Again, remember that many types of knowledge, they are difficult, but they are not as difficult as the rock. So don't despair. Don't give up. Always remember that there is a way. This struggle, actually, you will be rewarded for it. Otherwise, everybody would be a scholar. You want to get a high school diploma, it's not as difficult as getting a bachelor's degree. That's more difficult. Why? It is higher. Not as difficult as master's. Not as. Why? Because the higher you go, more requirements there will be. So the same thing with knowledge. Knowledge is not for everyone. Especially this knowledge. The knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah says, شَكَوْتُ إِلَى وَكِيعٍ سُوَحِفْضِي. I complained to Waqi'a that I am unable to memorize. And we will come to that inshallah. Memorization also is important. Some people say, I can't memorize. You have to memorize something at least. So he complained to his sheikh that he cannot memorize. He told him to abandon sins. Why? Because knowledge is a light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the light of Allah is not given to a sinner. The point is what? You are on the path of the messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. You are on the path of the scholars. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, messengers, they did not leave behind fortune for people to inherit. But what do people inherit from messengers? Ilm, knowledge. So whoever took from it, he indeed took great thing. He took a great thing. This is the knowledge. Important key in seeking knowledge, and it is an essential condition, to humble yourself to the knowledge. Humbling yourself to the knowledge means you humble yourself to the one who has the knowledge. The arrogant will never learn. We will talk in Akhlaq, inshallah, about the correct understanding of arrogance. Unlike what people think, that the arrogant is the one who shows off, that's part of arrogance. There is another part which is very dangerous, rejecting the truth. That's the dangerous part that many people don't pay attention to. So, in knowledge, regardless of the person, if he or she has more knowledge, you have to humble yourself to that knowledge. In the Quran, subhanallah, we have two beautiful stories to confirm that, about seeking knowledge from someone who has more knowledge. Someone that has more knowledge does not mean necessarily that he or she is better than you. Maybe you are better than him or her. But because they have more knowledge, you have to humble yourself to that, to the knowledge. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he used to wait for Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhuma. Ibn Abbas was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has better status. He's the cousin of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for him directly, asked Allah to give him the knowledge. Allahumma faqihu fi din wa 'allimhu ta'wil. This is the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Ibn Abbas. Yet he would go to Zayd ibn Thabit. Imagine, not like in our time, we make announcements, we ask people, just please come, and we bring people from overseas. At their time, they would go to the one who has the knowledge. So if Zayd was not coming out, he wouldn't knock on the door out of respect to the Shaykh. Because Zayd was older than Ibn Abbas. Sometimes, that's what Ibn Abbas says, sometimes he would have to sleep at the doorstep, waiting for Zayd to come. When Zayd comes, he would be surprised. Ya ibn Ammi, oh, the cousin of the Messenger of Allah, why didn't you knock on the door? He says, no, I didn't want to disturb you. He said, why didn't you tell me? Call off, I will come to you. He said, no, you have the knowledge, I should come to you. Subhanallah. This is the problem. In our time, we try to seek knowledge the wrong way, and that's why we're not going anywhere. Why? You have to take the right direction. Even if you drive a car, you go every direction, you drive 10 hours, it doesn't matter. It takes you 2 hours only, but in the right direction. So even 10 hours or 20 hours, as long as you're going the wrong direction, you will not arrive to your destination. This is our problem. So learn to humble yourself to the knowledge. Not necessarily the person is better than you. He might be or might not, but you're humbling yourself to the knowledge. I learned that firsthand. I was in Medina when I got the sanad of the Qur'an, memorizing the entire Qur'an. My Shaykh, his name is on the back of the Qur'an from King Fahd Complex. He's one of the committee members. And my certificate, my sanad, was authenticated by the Masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. What do I need more than that? That's what I thought. I went and I worked as an imam. And I heard about another Shaykh who has ijazas, sanads in the Qur'an with all the recitations. When I asked about his age, I found out he was 1 year younger than me. So I said, why would I go to him? He's younger than me. But then I said, let's go. I went to him and I started reading, and wallahi, he corrected me in Al-Fatiha. Even Al-Fatiha. At the beginning, I felt like he has no right to do that. I have ijazah, I don't need him. But then when I went back to myself, I said, he's right. I benefited from him. What he had is different than what my Shaykh had. So I recited the entire Qur'an again. And I could tell you, I benefited a lot. Just imagine if I took pride and I didn't want to go, what or how much would I have lost? My Shaykh in Medina, when I went to him, he said, I'm busy, I don't have time for you. I said, please, just give me time. Why I'm telling you this? Because I had to beg. Nowadays, you say, I don't want, you are the one who's losing, not the one who has the knowledge. He said, I don't have time. I came to him another time, he said, I don't have time. The only time I have is subh prayer. Do you have a car? At that time, I didn't have a car. I told him, I will have a car. He said, when you have a car, come. The only time I could give you, going to the masjid to pray subh prayer. You have a car, we go together, because he didn't have a car. The car comes from work, from King Fahd Complex, taking him and bringing him back. He didn't have a car, he didn't need a car. I said, okay, I got a car, alhamdulillah. I used to drive him every subh prayer. I am driving and I'm reading until I got the ijazah, the sanad of the Qur'an. This is how I got it from my Shaykh. So, some people would say, why did you do that? You didn't need to, there are other Shaykhs. True, but maybe I wouldn't have gotten the sanad, or other Shaykhs also would have been busy. The point is, you have to humble yourself. If you don't struggle, you will not get the reward. Just because someone has knowledge, again, maybe or maybe not, he or she is better than you, but you have to give respect for that knowledge. Allah says in the Qur'an, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Above everyone who has knowledge, there is one more knowledgeable. Never ever say, I am the most knowledgeable person. That's the story that I'm telling you, story of Musa alayhi salam. You read Surah Al-Kahf, right? You read Surah Al-Kahf or no? Especially on Friday. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَحُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ. This story, have you read it? Do you know the story of Musa alayhi salam with Al-Khadr? You don't know it? You never read Surah Al-Kahf? The story of Musa alayhi salam and Al-Khadr. Now, how the story began? The beginning of the story, which is not mentioned in the Quran. How did it begin? Do you know? What made the story actually? What caused it to happen? Question. A man from the children of Israel asked Musa alayhi salam, who is the most knowledgeable person on earth? What did Musa alayhi salam say? I am. Why? Musa alayhi salam is a messenger of Allah. And Allah spoke to him directly. What else do you want? So Allah wanted to teach Musa alayhi salam a lesson. And consequently teaching every single one of us also. Don't say something you don't know. Always refer and go back and say, Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best. Allah blamed Musa. Did you know all my slaves to say you are the most knowledgeable? There is one who has more knowledge. Who was it? Khadr. Khadr alayhi salam was a prophet. But who was better? Musa. No argument. Not even one single scholar said Al-Khadr is better than Musa. There is no argument. Musa alayhi salam is better than Al-Khadr. Yet, Al-Khadr was more knowledgeable. So Musa alayhi salam had to learn from Al-Khadr. That's how the story began. It's very beautiful because the beginning of the story, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ. Remember when Musa told his servant, the young boy who became also a prophet, Yusha ibn Nun alayhi salam, لَا أَبْرَحُ. I will not leave my place حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ, until I reach the point of the two oceans, the two seas where they are gathered. This is a point. Did he wait for Al-Khadr call upon him to come and teach him, or he went to learn from him? He went. While he was going there, was it easy? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paved the road with roses. قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ آتِنَا غَدَاءَنَا لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا. Prepare the food, for indeed we are tired of this traveling. This is the messenger of Allah, he is tired. And nowadays we complain, oh, the AC is not working. Oh, this is, the notes are not clear. Stop complaining. Try to enjoy the difficulty. Not that you do it on purpose, but if it happened, alhamdulillah. We used to complain a lot 20 years ago that we have 5 people, roommates, and we could, but this is actually the joy of seeking knowledge. Without it, it happened to everyone. You try to see how people prospered through that. Scholars say, لا يستطاع العلم براحة الجسم. You will not learn the knowledge comfortably sitting on your chair, having people coming to you. If you are able to bring people, alhamdulillah, that's fine. But this is not the right way. Maybe this is an exception. Even the Messenger of Allah, Musa alayhi salam, he had to travel. So, when he traveled, what happened? When he met with Al-Khadr, قَالَ هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. Amazing ayah. Musa alayhi salam is better than Al-Khadr. But Al-Khadr has more knowledge. So who is the teacher now and who is the student? Al-Khadr is the teacher. He has more knowledge. Although the student is better than the teacher. But because he is a student now, he told him, I am the messenger of Allah, you have to teach me. No. هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ. May I follow you? Look at the politeness in the sentence of Musa alayhi salam. May I follow you? هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي. Perhaps you would teach me. See? Although Musa alayhi salam, by nature, scholars said, because of his struggles with the children of Israel, he was a little bit rough. But still, with knowledge, he had to humble himself. And he is the messenger of Allah, subhanallah. So we come to ourselves and we try to seek knowledge the wrong way. We pretend that we are better, we're not in need of knowledge, but let's try to get it anyways. So he told him, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِي مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. What was the response? إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. You won't be able to be patient, to keep up with me. Musa alayhi salam again asked, قَالَ سَتَجِدُنِي إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ صَابِرًا. In sha Allah, you will find me patient. وَلَا أَعْصِي لَكَ أَمْرًا. And I will not disobey you. This is the other important thing. Many times you try to be challenging, and we talked about that in akhlaq. Don't challenge the teacher. Ask a question the right way, only when you don't know. Don't ask a question when you know. Try to rebut if you are certain that it is wrong. Try to rebut in a clear, authentic way. Many times the teacher would stop teaching because he's upset, for instance. One of the students asked a question the wrong way. So look at Musa alayhi salam. Al-Khadr rejected him. He told him, you won't be able to keep up, to be patient. He said, inshallah, you will find me patient and obedient as well. What happened? Did he keep up? No, he didn't. But did he learn or didn't he learn? He learned. And even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say, Rahim Allahu akhi Musa, may Allah show forgiveness to my brother Musa. Had he been more patient, we would have learned more. Even more. Why Allah Azza wa Jal gave Al-Khadr something more? Another example also. In the Qur'an. To show us that the one who has the knowledge should be listened to. Should be respected. Although, maybe or maybe not, is a better person. Or even creature. And that's the other clear example in the Qur'an. The story of Al-Hudhud wa Sulaiman. The hoopoe, the bird. I don't know if you saw that bird. Al-Hudhud, قَالَ أَحَطُّ بِمَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ. I have more knowledge than you. Who's better? A bird or a messenger of Allah? Sulaiman alayhi salam, the one that was able to speak to animals. The one that subjected the jinn to his service. The one that was a king, in addition to being a messenger. A bird comes and tells him, I have more knowledge than you. What did Sulaiman alayhi salam do? Did he kill the hudhud? Did he tell him, go away, you are just a bird, one soldier in my huge army? No. أَحَطُّ بِمَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ. He was telling him, وَجِئْتُكَ مِنْ سَبَأٍ بِنَبَأٍ يَقِينَ. I came from Saba, from the city of Saba, with a certain news, with confirmed news. إِنِّي وَجَدْتُ. And we all know the story of Sulaiman alayhi salam with Balqis. So therefore, the one who has the knowledge should be respected. You have to humble yourself to the knowledge. No arrogant will be able to learn the knowledge. Because if you feel like you are better, why would you even need that person? Or need that knowledge? That's why a key point here is to humble yourself. Try to listen to what is said. Another important point. So now, to summarize, we talked about the importance of starting gradually. That's one point. Start with small things before going to larger issues. Main points, essential ones, something that you come across every single day. That's why scholars, they start with the Book of Purification first. This is something you need for prayer. You start with it. And when you start with it, they start with wudu. Not with ghusl. Wudu is for part of the body. Because that's what you need every day. Ghusl maybe you won't need it until once a week or twice a week or three times a week. So wudu is more frequent. So that's what they started with. Gradual learning. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah mentioned Rabbaniyin, al-alim al-Rabbani. The true scholar is the one who starts with small things before going to the larger ones. The second point that I talked about is what? Being patient. Patient and going through the right way. It's not going to happen over time. And unless you take the right way, the proper method, you won't be able to do it. And this point that I just finished now, which is humbling yourself to knowledge, which is very important. And the example is the story of Musa alayhi salam with Al-Khadr, and the story of Sulaiman alayhi salam with Al-Hudhud. Now I come to another important point, which is practice. Practice is important. We all know practice makes perfect, but in knowledge in particular, because it is a sign of your sincerity. How? When you say, I am learning the knowledge, and there is a time to implement that, and you didn't implement it, so what good was it for you? Knowledge is either for you or against you. If time of practice came and you didn't practice, it will be against you. So to know is good and important, but to implement what you know is more important. Remember that knowledge by itself should be a means to pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just learning knowledge for the sake of knowledge. I say this because there are some examples of some students of knowledge. Unfortunately, they devote their time, which is good, for seeking knowledge. Seeking knowledge, seeking knowledge. Okay, where is the time of implementation? Where is the time of practice? We talk about the virtues of praying during the night. The ones who know the virtues more are the ones who are knowledgeable. But you look at them, they never pray Qiyamul Layl or Tahajjud. So where is the practice? Practice will help the knowledge to settle, to remember it. That's another thing. There is a difference between the one who just learned theoretically and the one who practices that. Imagine two knowledgeable people in a worldly field, like a dentist. One has a clinic practicing for 10 years. The other one is a professor at the university. He studied, he finished, he continued studying, he got his master's, his PhD, became professor, and he taught. You had toothache and you wanted to go to a dentist. Which one do you go to? The practicing dentist. That one has more knowledge. He's a professor. You go to the one who has more knowledge or the one who has been practicing? The one who is practicing. See, same thing with knowledge. You want to help the knowledge settle, you have to practice it. Actually, this happened. I know a case of a man. His friend is a professor, and he had to go three times for a simple issue of a filling in his tooth. And he said, normally it takes no longer than half an hour. No dentist, practicing dentist, would take more than half an hour. But this man, because he never practiced, he just taught it, he knows exactly what to do, but he never did it. It took him three appointments, three times. So the same thing with knowledge. You know that there is another version of the tashahhud. but you never did it. And that's why in tashahhud you keep doing it and you're not thinking what you're saying. That's one of the points of having different versions, different du'as to practice. So they will always settle. They will always settle. There is a famous story of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, who was at his time the greatest Imam. With knowledge, he didn't lack any knowledge. But when it came time of implementation, time for going to perform Umrah, he went there, and the young boy, this is a famous story documented in the books of biographies, a young boy from Mecca, he told him, "You want me to accompany you to show you what to do, and you pay me one dirham, one silver coin?" He said, "I don't need you. I know everything." He went to start the Umrah. He entered the masjid. In Mecca, the salutation of the masjid is what? There is difference of opinions, but many scholars said it is tawaf. Usually when you enter the masjid, what do you do? Tahiyatul masjid. It's a prayer, two rak'ah. But in Mecca, it is tawaf. So he started praying, and the young boy said, "What an ignorant man. He doesn't know that Tahiyyatul Masjid in Mecca is the tawaf." Then the kid kept following him. Imam Abu Hanifa wanted to start. Where do we start the tawaf? Where do we start circumambulating the Kaaba? From where? From the black stone. But if you haven't seen it before, now alhamdulillah we have signs, we have lines, we have... At their time they didn't. So he didn't know where to start. He knows, he teaches people that the tawaf starts from the black stone. But he didn't know where it is. So he kept looking for it. And the boy told him, "It's there." So he went there. He finished tawaf. Now, where to go? Sa'i. Where do you start from? Safa. Where is Safa? He needs to look for a Safa. He showed him a Safa. He started doing a Safa, from a Safa to Al Marwa, and then going back. That is one. Then going from a Safa to Al Marwa and coming back, and that is two. Yes or no?
No.
Now you say no. Who has been to Umrah or Hajj? One from a Safa to Al Marwa. Unlike tawaf, you have to come back to the same point. Between the two mounts, one counts one, not going back and forth, and then it is one. So he taught him that also. Although Abu Hanifa rahimahullah knows, this is the point when you don't practice. So a key point here to help the knowledge settling is to practice. To practice what you learn. As they say in Arabic, هَتَفَ الْعِلْمُ بِالْعَمَلِ فَإِنْ أَجَابَهُ وَإِلَّا ارْتَحَلْ. Knowledge calls upon application. If application did not respond, knowledge will leave away, will go away. So this is a reminder. In our time, I give you a similar example also to that of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Have you lost a relative or a dear person? Do you know someone that passed away? I don't know here, what's the process? Where is there an administration or a government body where people are washed, the deceased? Or it's done through the community? How it is done? What is the process?
Community.
The community. So it's not supervised by the government, or they don't do it directly. Okay, so this is similar to what we do in the West. We have funeral homes. Have you been a part of washing a body? Who was? You have been? How many times? One time. Before that, you knew how to wash the body. Or maybe you didn't know exactly. But when you did it, now, if it happened to someone else, would it be easier or difficult?
Easier.
It's easier. Why? Because you did it. You know what to do, but you didn't do it before. This is something related to someone who's dead. You have to be gentle. You have to know where to start. You know, and you have been told that you might see some signs. But it is totally different when you see a dead person. So that is the difference between knowing and practicing. Therefore, it's always important to practice. And therefore also, stop asking and worrying about things that may or may not happen. Always be practical. Try to focus on what will affect you. An example for that would be the chapters that we have in books of fiqh about slavery. In our time, this is something that is not practical. We don't have this. It is not there. So it doesn't mean that we leave the knowledge, but this part, we leave it now because there are more parts are more important, more practical, more related to our time. So that's what we do. So therefore, this is the point about implementation. Always, always ask yourself whenever you learn something, how can I implement that? When can I implement that? Always. This is a key in learning. The other point also about learning, about seeking knowledge, is the memorization. The memorization. You need to memorize. Many people would say no, especially in our time. Why would we need that? We have Google. We have the internet. We have this and that. No, it is different. You can have access to the knowledge is different than having the knowledge itself. You have access to the knowledge, you're just like a machine. You're just like a book. But you have the knowledge within, you are knowledgeable. That is the difference. Nowadays, maybe you would say, no, it's not needed. This was said also at the time of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, I gave you the example when he used to go to seek knowledge from Zayd ibn Thabit and other older companions, because Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma was young. One of his friends from the Ansar, from the tribe of the Ansar, he told him, why are you wasting your time? To him it was considered what? Waste of time. Why you are wasting your time? Why do you seek knowledge? Do you think people need you? You're young. There are many companions of the Prophet ﷺ, older than you, more knowledgeable than you. If people needed something, where will they go? To them. But Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma did not listen to that. He kept learning. Later on, what happened? Those older companions, what happened to them?
Passed away.
Gone to a different location, or they totally gone, passed away. So now people needed who? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Later, at one point, this friend passed by and saw the people gathered around Ibn Abbas, and he said, this man was wiser than me. He had more wisdom. It was too late. Same thing. Now, you might say, why would we need that? We have the internet, we have Google, we have this, we have counsel. You seek the knowledge. First and foremost, it's for your own self, for your own welfare, for your own good. Then after that, you help others as well. You don't know when it will be needed. Now, I might be using this. What if I had a virus there? What if I lost it? No charge. I need to give the class and I come to you, I tell you, we are talking about knowledge. Do you know the importance of knowledge? Yeah, okay, alhamdulillah, so let's leave. Why? I didn't memorize anything. I wrote everything and I depended on that. always, always try to have your hard disk here. Okay? Because it happened. Some people, they lost all the information. You're depending on books. You're depending on this. It might be gone one day. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah says, "Ilmi ma'i," knowledge is with me. Whenever or wherever I go, it's with me. It's not in a box. It's not in a box. If I am at home, it is with me at home. If I am in the market, it's with me in the market. If I needed it there, it's there. It's not, wait, let's go and read the book. No, it is there. Same thing, one of the scholars, Ibn Hazm rahimahullah, also said the same. Why? At the time of Ibn Hazm rahimahullah, they burnt his books. People came, they were upset with him, they disagreed with him, so they burnt all his books. He said, burn all the books. If you burn them, you don't burn the knowledge. The knowledge is here, it's not there. Okay, but for us, unfortunately, because we try to be relaxed, we try to take the easy way, we depend on devices, on machines, that one day, that's why, oh, you have to have a backup. Backup, you have to have security. For the security, you lost your password. Why you do that anyways? Your phone. If you lost your phone, what will happen to all the numbers? You forgot the day when we used to memorize the numbers? They were there. Now it's not there anymore, unfortunately. Why? We're dependent on these things. We never trained ourselves. We forgot about that we can memorize. We have the ability. We are actually memorizing. It's not an excuse, oh, I'm not good at memorizing. Believe me, you're good. But in other things. Car models, phone types, makeup, fashion styles, all that we memorize. But when it comes to solid knowledge, some things that are useful for us, that's when we don't, or we don't like, or we say we cannot, but we can. Are people different? Yes, they have different abilities, different skills. Some of them can memorize quickly, some of them, it takes them more time, but you can. So, you have to memorize. Without memorization, you will not gain a lot of knowledge. You might get some limited knowledge, but you have to memorize. So, in case something happened, you don't worry, it is here. And subhanallah, even if it was here, but this is the will of Allah, the qadr of Allah. What can you do? One of the scholars, Ibn Lahi'a, his name is Ibn Lahi'a, he was a narrator of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And he had books. He wrote the hadith that he took from the pious predecessors, from the companions, from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So his books were burnt. Now he started telling from his memory, and he started making mistakes because he didn't memorize like what he wrote in the books. What he wrote was correct, was verified, but now the books are gone. That's why scholars said, Ibn Lahi'a, you don't accept his hadith. Why? They say after the incident of burning his books, he became having a lot of errors. So scholars stopped taking from him. So this is an example of what could happen. Imagine going to a speech and you prepared the speech very well, you have it written. And then once you arrived, you were looking in Alhamdulillah, نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ. And then what do you do? Okay? So this could happen. Train yourself. This goes back again to application. One of the scholars, Al-A'mash, rahimahullah, he didn't find a student to practice on him. He had his animal, mule. Mule. He was teaching the mule. After reciting, talking, talks to the mule, telling him, Afahimta, did you get it? Did you understand? And he became, again, you could find a lot of ways. People are different. The point is what? When you gain the knowledge and you are able to to convey it, to deliver it, people will benefit. And you will be rewarded. SubhanAllah, nowadays you find people, famous, known, people go to them, listen to them, and they are not the most knowledgeable. But they gave what they have. In terms of knowledge, they are students of knowledge, they are not scholars. They have some knowledge, but they are not scholars. But because they gave what they have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed their knowledge and people started coming to them. While other scholars, maybe they have a lot of knowledge, but they are not giving it all, or most of it. They are giving just a little of it. And that's why many people are not going there. So practice is important. Trying to implement what you know, trying to memorize. Memorize what you got and then rehearse that. This takes us to another point. It is also important. And it could be essential, but generally it is not. Having the helpful partner. Partner, competitor, someone that you can try to challenge, you can try to exchange. You want to memorize Quran. Another person wants also to memorize the Quran. Okay, you recite the page and I recite it again. And we see who has less errors. This could be helpful also. But I didn't mention it at the beginning because some people say, I don't have anyone, so let's not seek knowledge. No, you can still seek knowledge. If it was available, it is helpful. It is helpful. If it is not available, alhamdulillah. But the helpful partner is a good and a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for seeking knowledge. So, remember the memorization. Sometimes only few texts. Small, short texts. But the beginning will be the Qur'an. We will talk about that inshallah next session. The beginning has to be the Qur'an. Because it is the essence. All the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is in the Qur'an. That is the greatest miracle. After the Qur'an, you go around. In our time, unfortunately, we try doing everything. Listening to lectures, conferences, nice talks. But we are leaving the core, the essence, which is the Qur'an. Reading books here and there, notes. At the time of the Prophet ﷺ and the companions, how many books did they have? It was only the book of Allah. But they had solid knowledge. Why? They went back to the source, which is the Qur'an. So go back to the source. Inshallah, we will talk about that later when it comes to the practical steps. 1, 2, 3, the books. This will be inshallah next session. So never ever underestimate the memorization. It is important. Even the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya ummul qawma aqra'uhum. This is a simple example in prayer. Who leads the prayer? Who becomes the imam? The one who has better voice? Or the one who looks better? The one who memorizes more. Okay? Don't say I have the Quran on my PDA, on my computer, on my... It is there. You have to memorize it. So ask yourself, what do you memorize? Because believe me, we memorize a lot. We can memorize a lot. But in our time, we have a lot of distractions. We memorize the features, all the specs of this device, of that machine, and we left things that are essential. So these are key points that will help you inshallah. And from next week, we will start the practical steps. What are the books? What types of knowledge? How do we start? And how can we do that? And we start it inshallah from here. Bi-idhnillah. So I will stop here. Jazakumullahu khairan. Sallallahu wasallam ala Muhammad wa sahbihi ajma'in. Any questions? We have time for questions. Anybody has any questions?
Since I'm a convert, I have difficulties with all the Arabic expressions.
Okay.
I don't know what they mean sometimes. Where can I look them up to get an explanation or a definition? Or because in the internet, the same word is in 10 different writings, spellings, and it confuses me.
the easy way for you now, whenever you hear a term, to ask immediately about it. Because there are certain terms that are used frequently, and even non-Arab speakers, but because they have been Muslim for a while, they understand it. Okay? Term ibadah, worship, but no need to translate it. Why? Because it has been repeated a lot, so they know. Any other terms, sisters? Many of them, they don't speak Arabic, but they know. Awra, that's something we used yesterday also. The awra, it's not the genitals, it's something that you cannot show during prayer, or generally speaking.
So, what I'm asking is there like a glossary or like a dictionary?
You might find, yes, there is dictionary for certain terms. But maybe not all of them are there. Usually, at the beginning or at the end of every book, talking about Islamic sciences, you find an index at the beginning. They give you the translation. Sometimes even in the Quran. At the back of the Quran, sometimes you have this index of terms and their translation. Any other questions? Okay. Jazakumullah khairan.